There is just one letter to the Evening News this week, written by William Oram of Taverham, who says, "Put cameras on roundabouts."
I write in response to the article regarding the final cost of the road to nowhere, now named the Broadland Northway. The question of roundabouts being up to national standards is simply not true. I consider myself a safe and considerate driver, and after 65 plus years of driving with no points, I am now scared of using this road due entirely to the fact that you take your life in your hands at every roundabout. The comment of speed was mentioned, and it appears that for the large majority of male Norfolk drivers, slow down means from 70 miles an hour to 50 miles an hour. In my case, from 60 miles an hour to 25 miles an hour. I was taught roundabout manners of give way to traffic coming from the right, but that has largely disappeared. With the nights drawing in, fog, frost, snow and ice and very little lighting, this is going to make it worse. I suggest that the powers that be install speed cameras at every entry, simple and straightforward. Job done.
More news stories now, including tributes to the creator of Borbrook Golf Course and new permit zones leave families with parking problems. But first, concerns have been raised over the future of a Norwich printing museum.
A bid was submitted to build 218 new houses, apartments, offices and a hotel on the former Gerald Printworks site in Barrack Street in September. It would see an annex to St James Mill demolished, the home of the John Gerald Printing Museum. Created in 1982, the museum reflects on Gerald's time as a printer and publisher in the 19th and 20th centuries. It contains letterpress and lithography items, among many others, and is home to what is believed to be the only surviving example of a Radcliffe direct lithographic press. But fears have been raised over what will happen to the museum's item when the building is demolished, with concerns shared by the Association of European Printing Museums and the Norwich Society, the city's civic watchdog. But a spokesperson for the Gerald Group said no decisions had been made and they recognised its important place in Norwich's history. We can confirm the redevelopment plans will affect the current museum site, they said. We are in discussions and we will with all parties on how best to ensure the history and heritage held within the museum is best conserved and displayed in the future.
New signs have been installed in Norwich City Centre urging pedestrians and cyclists to watch out for each other after more streets were opened up for cycling. Until recently, cyclists had not been permitted to ride down a number of city centre streets, such as Gentleman's Walk, Davy Place and White Lion Street between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. and were not allowed to cycle on London Street or Lower Goat Lane at all. But last year, members of Norwich Highways Agency Committee agreed to open up streets to cyclists at all times. Signs reminding pedestrians and cyclists to share with care have now been put up. Mike Stonard, Vice Chair of Norwich Highways Agency Committee and Norwich City Council Cabinet Member for Transport, said, "This approach has worked well in other cities, but the signs are a gentle reminder to look out for each other, whether you're getting around on foot or by bike."
Families living close to the University of East Anglia say recent changes to parking permit zones have made it nigh on impossible to park near their home. At the beginning of September, several roads in the West Earlham area were included in a rollout of new permit zones by the City Council. However, one road not included was Robson Road, which Stephen Howes says has led to parking becoming a nightmare because so many people use it for their vehicles. Mr. Howes, 50, said the parking situation on our road has got progressively worse over the last 10 years, and this has made it even worse. He envisages the problem getting even worse with UEA students recently returning from their studies. He said, "Sometimes cars are just abandoned for weeks on end. It's very frustrating. It shouldn't be this difficult to park near your home." A spokesman for Norwich City Council said there was insufficient support from Robson Road's for Robson Road's inclusion, with residents of just 17% of the road's 72 homes indicating they would support permit parking. If, after being consulted with, there is a change of feeling and it is found that it is a reasonable level of support in the area, the case could be reviewed.
People in Norfolk are being urged to donate household furniture and their time to help Syrian refugees fleeing civil war to start a new life in the county. And landlords are being invited to register to let their properties out to the new arrivals, with 100 more Syrian refugees due to make a home in Norfolk over the next 2 years. Norfolk County Council voted in July 2016 to accept 50 vulnerable Syrian refugees through the government's resettlement scheme, which set a target to offer sanctuary to 20,000 people fleeing civil war over 5 years. They have been housed in the Greater Norwich area. And in the summer, county councillors agreed that a further 100 refugees would be similarly welcomed. Norwich City Council backed the scheme, but deputy leader Gail Harris warned the challenge of accommodating them should not be underestimated. And now the leader of Norfolk County Council has appealed for donations of unneeded furniture and for people willing to volunteer to support the refugees. And to prepare properties for the new arrivals, the County Council is looking for any unneeded furniture to be donated to the initiative. Large items such as sofas, chests of drawers, bed frames or other items of household furniture can be collected from the homes of those who make them available. People can visit www.gov.uk/help-refugees to make donations. Smaller items can be taken in a box to any Norfolk County Council library and marked PFA Team NML, and the library service will deliver it. The County Council is also looking to recruit volunteer support workers to help the refugees, such as by helping them form links with the community and to use public transport.
Tributes have been paid to the creator of one of Norfolk's most popular golf courses, who has died. Alan Barnard, 89, designed Borborough Golf Club and the original nine-hole course alongside former professional golfer Bert Kelly in 1979. Mr. Barnard, who died on September the 30th, and his wife, Kate Barnard, 87, who also died on August the 15th, continued to work on the course over the years, increasing it to 18 holes. In 1994, it saw the addition of Glen Lodge Clubhouse. Mr. Barnard was a father, grandfather, and great-grandfather of 10. He was a pioneer in agriculture in the 1970s on his Wyndham farm. Mr. Barnard was a keen hockey and tennis player and enjoyed fishing and shooting. He played an important role in the creation of Great Melton Bowls and Cricket Club and was a keen supporter of Wyndham Rugby Club, helping to fund their recent move to Barnard Field. His son, Robert Barnard, said, "For a man who only played a handful of rounds of golf during his lifetime, he had an amazing vision for the sport." The pair took interest in Borborough Golf Club, visiting for lunch and helping out at the annual Barnard Charity Golf Day during their later years. The Golf Day has raised nearly £200,000 for Norfolk charities. His son added, he was always very keen on sport and was presented with a match ball 3 seasons ago at Norwich City after being a season ticket holder for 80 years.
Neighbours praised fire crews for their quick response to a flat fire which could have been much worse. Crews were called to a middle floor flat in Southwell Road in Lakenham, Norwich. The road was closed while emergency crews, including paramedics, were on scene, but no one is thought to have been seriously hurt.
Now to our first feature, written by Derek James, about a project to share your memories of the city's tram system. Sarah Lusher is the reader.